This is Degaris, Masculist, MGTOW, Flyers. That is two, three-page essays on the themes of masculism and MGTOW. Written by and read aloud by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. This is flyer number 765, entitled Women's Diminishing Status. Description. This flyer presents four growing causes why women will have less status in the future. They are derived from women's experience in the workforce, from men's mass abandonment of women, from masculist critique of women, and from scientific evidence for differences in abilities between the sexes. The flyer itself. Ad-libbing now, maybe you've noticed a difference in the quality of the image and the new background. I now have a new, a second 4K webcam, which I think is better quality than the previous one. It uses AI to focus on the face, so hopefully it's sharper. And you can read the titles on the books behind. So if you have a math or physics background, you might find their titles interesting. Okay, so the flyer itself. Women's Diminishing Status by Prof. Dr. Hugo Degaris. Email profhugodegaris@yahoo.com. Website profhugodegaris.wordpress.com. This flyer predicts that within a decade, the general status of women will have decreased relative to where it is at the time of writing. That's 2026. This flyer also explains why I think this will happen. At the time of writing, masculism, that is men's lib, is nowhere near as well known as feminism is. So we live currently in a largely monoconscious society. To be monoconscious means that the only gender politics one knows of is feminist, that one has only had one's feminist consciousness raised, so that one believes that gender oppression is a one-way street. Masculist ideas have yet to penetrate the mainstream media, which is needed for masculist ideas to influence the minds of the masses, the millions, the billions. This is largely due to the existence of what the masculists call the fem mafia, that is, the feminist media mafia, who see masculist criticism of certain categories of women as just more male misogyny and hence something to be blocked. Since most journalists and media people today are women, they have the power to censor what gets published, so masculists are having a hard time getting their masculist gender political ideas across to the general public. Feminism, monoconscious feminism, has had a monopoly over gender politics for some six decades, so it's not surprising society has been thoroughly brainwashed that gender oppression is a one-way street, because that's the only gender political story that they have heard. Once women got the pill, household gadgets, higher education, etc., in brackets, all invented by men, an essential point that I will be pushing hard later in this flyer, close brackets, they moved into the workforce in a flood, in their millions, their billions. In other words, women took on men's traditional role of being a breadwinner, obtained financial independence, and hence wanted and demanded to be treated by society and by law as men are treated. So pushed hard with feminist rhetoric that women be given equal rights with men, equal opportunities, etc. For decades, the only gender political story in town was feminism. Feminists were angry at men for not giving women equal rights and for the gender crimes that men commit against women, for example, rape, sexual harassment, domestic violence, etc. Feminists wanted men to stop having monopoly political power and stop denigrating women as an inferior sex. That is, feminists lashed out at the patriarchy and against male misogyny. Until recently, men had no gender political ideology of their own. So when millions of women, in brackets, intellectually armed with a young lifetime's worth of feminist propaganda, which was the only gender political edifice in town, close brackets, really lashed out at men's gender crimes against women. Men had no intellectual tools to answer back to these feminist criticisms, so men were just silenced by such feminist complaint. Typically, when feminists harass men for men's gender crimes against women, men just go silent and crawl away from such criticism. This is pretty much the way things are today, in 2026. But this flyer claims that this situation will change and is changing, but has not yet obtained real momentum that will be necessary to make a major impact on women's general status. So this is where we are today. So how will things change regarding women's general status? Dash, that is, for what reasons will women's general status level be considerably lower a decade from now, as I think will be the case? I see at least four major factors that will lower women's general status level in society, which are dash. One, women's self-perceived lower relative performance level in the workplace. Two, women's self-reflection on why masses of men are abandoning them, refusing to have relationships with them. Three, maskless counter-criticism of women, of monoconscious feminists. Four, the scientific critique. There are probably other important factors that one could mention, but for the purposes of this flyer, I will discuss only these four to keep things short. At Living Now, and even then it wasn't short, this video comes in three parts. One, women's self-perceived lower relative performance level in the workplace. Women have moved into the workplace in huge numbers over the past few decades. People talk increasingly of the feminization of society, as profession after profession is taken over by women. For example, female therapists, primary and secondary teachers, publishers, journalists, media people, lawyers, dentists, doctors, administrators, academics, newscasters, etc. A long list. So women are now living the traditional role that men have always had, that is, as breadwinners, facing the same day-to-day challenges and rewards as men. So women now have a more objective, more informed assessment as to how women's performance level stacks up against men's performance level. Women now observe that at the top end of the performance scale, men outclass women, giving women a lower relative general status. This point will be reinforced by the fourth factor, cause, which discusses what science has to say about women's abilities relative to men's. In the 60s, the early second wave feminists, usually upper middle class, university trained female intellectuals, for example, Simone de Beauvoir, Betty Friedan, Kate Millett, Germaine Greer, Shulamith Firestone, Susan Brown Miller, etc., strongly encouraged women away from being housewives to being female careerists. At the time, millions of women had no first-hand experience of what it was like to be a female careerist, to participate in the rat race, in the daily grind of earning a living, of sitting in a cubicle for decades of one's life, etc., just to earn money, to stay alive. Many of these early second-wave feminist theorists overplayed their conception of how women would react in the workplace, or workforce, painting a rosier picture of the role of the female careerist than what turned out to be the reality. Millions of women were put in a careerist role in which they were in direct competition with men for promotion, salaries, responsibilities, leadership, status, etc. This first-hand experience of women in such competition was sobering, as it became clear to them that the traditional role of the man as the sole breadwinner of the nuclear family, in brackets, when women had a string of kids, so had to stay at home raising them, which was a full-time job, close brackets, was not so glamorous and desirable as they first imagined, and that men were fierce competitors, not to be underestimated. Once men had given women science-based medicine that allowed women today to have a life expectancy of 85 years and had given women the pill so that women could choose the number of kids they wanted, women chose to have 0, 1, or 2 kids in most cases, so had time on their hands as middle-class housewives as they were in the 60s. Once Betty Friedan highlighted the ennui felt by millions of middle-class, university-trained housewives, millions of women poured into the workforce with the expectations that they too, along with their husbands, could enjoy the benefits, challenges, and stimulus of careers. But for millions of such women, the reality was soberingly different. They saw with their own eyes that often, particularly at the top level of performance, men were just better performers, statistically speaking. They noticed that men were just more competitive, brilliant, ambitious, energetic, etc., and just generally outshone women. For many of these women, feminism had taught them that, quote,
anything a man can do, a woman can do.
Or,
women are just as capable as men.
But for millions of women, these feminist propaganda slogans did not pan out. This collective, sobering, female experience caused millions of women to respect men's top-level performance superiority, which caused them to question feminist statements that women are just as capable as men. This sobering had resulted recently in a lot of women getting onto the media preaching anti-feminism, taking up the role of media-oriented female masculists, etc. The realization on the part of millions of female careerists that they can't compete with men at the top levels has filled them with self-doubt, and this has lowered their assessment of women's general status level. This is the end of part 1.